Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm Betsy McLaughlin, and I am here today to talk very serious stuff, you guys. So the title of our show today is Ho Ho Hilarious and Bringing the Silly Back to the Holidays. And I have two very fun and very unserious guests with me today. And that is, I'm very happy to welcome back Michelle Lyle and Christine Siona. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome. And so we're going to talk today about, are you looking for some laughs and some joy? And, you know, for the week, if you're listening to this live, it is December 22nd. So just a couple of days before Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas, a week before the end of the year. And for many, many people, I just keep hearing over and over again how glad they are going to be to say goodbye to the year 2020. And you know, so if you're feeling any of the stress of, you know, the year or the holidays or anything else, we're here today to provide some merriment and some silliness to your life. And that's, we're just going to go. We don't really have a pre-planned agenda at all, other than we just wanted to contribute to some joy and talk about some different ways that we could change if we're feeling stressed in our lives. So a little bit about my guest. Michelle is an inspirational coach. She is a mind-body intuitive, which I just even love saying that. She's a mind-body intuitive. She's a business visionary. She's a mom, a writer, a joy seeker, and an adventure junkie. And she uses integrative therapies and facilitation, and she has an incredible capacity for seeing many different perspectives and opening all possibilities for you to see the greatness in you. And she bridges extended education with over 20 years of experience in experiential, easy for me to say, therapies and energetic modalities. And so she's got a really big toolbox where she facilitates, and she's dedicated to each session going beyond any point of view or limitation that may otherwise arise. I love that. And Michelle's website is michellelyle.com, which is spelled michellelyle.com. And then Christine is an entrepreneur. She is a joy advocate, an abundant living guide dedicated to helping you be the magnificence of you and to shine. She's a certified counselor, a life coach, an Access Consciousness Bars facilitator, and an expressive arts therapist. And for over 25 years, she's been inviting people to get unstuck, be clear, and unleash their capacities with ease and joy. And she facilitates in person, online, and around the world. And her website is www.capacitiesunleashed.com. Wow. And so, you know, I've got a lot of brilliance here with me today on this radio show. So how did I get so lucky?
Kaboom, kaboom. Holy smoker. We could just end the call now.
That's what I was thinking. I was listening to all that and I was like, there is no fun happening between the three of us at all.
Yeah, we might have had to do a disclaimer that, you know, if you wanted to listen to a very serious show and you didn't want to laugh, then you might as well just hang up now, because I know we're gonna go very silly, because that's just who we be and what we embrace and enjoy. And let's actually start there. So was there ever a time for either one of you in your lives where you had a hard time being silly and finding joy in your life?
Probably, but I don't even, I don't remember. Well, I wouldn't say I don't really remember them. I just remember my silliness, you know, I just would bring my joy into everything that I was doing and not really be the life of the party, but kind of like my humor and my way of being would kind of break the tension or, you know, create new possibilities for people, even when I was little. And sometimes, you know, it was seen as not necessarily right. Like, mm-hmm. Christine, can you just not spin so fast? And like, and yet it really was a capacity. And, and now as an adult, it's just super fun to know that joy and the crazy that I be actually can create new realities for people, which is really fun.
Mm. I love that answer. So in creating new realities for people, you really, and to hone in on that, you've really got to be all of you and even keep pushing your boundaries, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. It's a silly example, but it's popping in my head. Is I remember going for a walk with my boyfriend at the time, and I was so full of happiness, and the sun was shining, and I wanted to skip down the street, and I was like, oh my God, let's skip. And so, and I'm an adult, like I'm like, you know, at the time I was like 35 or 36, and we're going for a walk, and I'm like, da 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 da, and I want to skip down the street. And I remember he did not want to skip down the street. And he really he wanted to just, you know, walk down the street and hold hands and be an adult. and I wanted to skip down the street. And so I was like, well, that's okay, I'll meet you at the bottom. And so I skipped down the street and I sang down the street, and it was so great. And then I just waited at the bottom for him by the fire hydrant on the corner. And I think he was really agitated by my happiness. But yeah, like that, I'm not like that always, you know, to be that radical difference in that extreme sense of like, I'm going to skip and bonk and boing down the street. And I'm also willing to skip and bonk and boing down the street if it's feeling fun. So yeah, and it can make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we continued our walk, and it was a lot of fun.
So, you know, you said he was, he might have been a little annoyed with you. So what do you do when you get that energy at you that somebody might be annoyed with your wanting to skip and bonk and boink down the street? Do you choose to do anything with that, or do you, what do you do?
Well, it depends on the day and maybe my ability to stay in question. You know, it's easy to make yourself wrong when people are getting a little crunchy by how happy you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm much more able now to stay in question and go, okay, like, is this creating change here?
Mm.
And a lot of the time I get an energetic yes, like, oh yeah, this is creating change. And there have been times where I've made my joy a wrongness because it's hard for people to receive it. And now I realize it's a capacity.
Yeah.
And that just the vibration of my being can create some pretty awesome things that I don't even know about yet. But, and so I'm really, I get really excited to just be unleashed. I mean, that's kind of why my business is called Capacities Unleashed, because it's like, where am I not unleashing myself from myself? And what if I actually could be that joy magnet, that silliness, that playfulness, you know, that kid energy that really doesn't hold themselves back?
So, I love this so much. And so, Michelle, what is this conversation? What is that bringing up for you?
Well, I was thinking about that, and the funny thing is, truth be told, about me is I have a very serious side of myself. And when I was a kid, I was incredibly sensitive and serious. And my dad was a comedian. He thought everything was funny, and he made jokes about everything. And so a lot of times I would end up crying over my dad's joking because I just needed him to take me seriously. However, the gift in that is that I would get so serious, and my dad would always say, "But sweetheart, are you having any fun?" And that would like flip me out of it. And that's been an ongoing thing in my life. And even to this day, I could call my dad right now and I'd be like, you know, talking to him, and he would stop me and he'd go, "But sweetheart, are you having any fun?" And it always just like flipped me right out of that serious thought process. But over the years and at the stage of my life I am now, I look at everything and I say this to myself, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it, because this is our life. This is a life that we get to live. And if we're not having fun, then what the heck are we doing?
You know, and that takes you kind of back to that kid energy that, you know, Christine mentioned. And, you know, that seems to be for the majority of kids, if you just watch them play, that is their, you know, modus operandi, where they're like, if it's not fun, I don't want to be doing it. And they have no point of view about the chaos that they can leave in their wake. You know, if they have the option or the ability to do whatever they'd like to do, and let's say there's a lot of toys, well, they're going to pull out every single toy, and it's going to be strewn all across the living room floor, and they're going to have no point of view about it, right? And they just go from toy to thing to thing. And in that chaos, you know, what, even just talking about it, what does that bring up for you guys?
I have a story, like, in my mind, thinking about Christmas, just the polarity that, you know, will allow, but when children are that energy, it's kind of understood, but when adults are that energy, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just remembering, true story, I'm remembering a Christmas, and it's as an adult, I was in my 20s, and I bought my sister this gift, which I thought, and she was kind of hard to, she's sometimes hard to buy for, because I think she's so cool, so I'm like, I need a cool gift, so I finally, I found this gift that I thought would be perfect, And she loved it. It was this really fun magnetic sculpture that you could twist and swirl around and make new shapes out of it. And very playful and very engaging kind of sculpted gift that I gave her. And I had this he's alive. I had an uncle. I have this uncle. And I remember he played with it in kind of out of control, like not, you know, really delicately. He played with it like a little kid, going, "Oh, cool, what's this?" And I remember going, "Hey, slow down, be nice, don't like hurt the game. I just like, what was I doing?" And he was so engaged in this game and really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And yet I thought he was playing, you know, too rough, and he needed to hold it really carefully. And all he was doing was playing. It's so funny. Like the ways we think it's allowed or not allowed to be this playful, engaging, fun energy. But if he would have been 6 years old, I probably would have seen it being okay.
That, you know, that really is so true. It's like somewhere along the line, we just, you know, we decide or it's been decided for us, and then we accepted that as our reality of like, okay, now you're supposed to, it's like you're allowed from this age to, you know, be everything. And then you got to start, you got to buckle down and be serious and, you know, all of the things that have been told to us. So then here we are as adults going, let's look at that and what is actually true for you. So to bring some more merriment and relieving some of the stress of this life that many of us, you know, we're all in, if we're listening to this, we're in this life. So what do you guys do to lighten the mood and bring some more happy and joy into your world? Oh my God, it's time for the first break already. That, I'm sorry, I totally spaced. So I'll save that question when we come back from break.
We'll skip and hop all break long.
There we go. I love it. Stay tuned, guys.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Are you looking to change anything in your life? To have an even greater appreciation of everything around you? Would you enjoy having a life of more joy and greater abundance? And explore what is possible for you? My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and I invite you to explore simple and pragmatic tools that I share on my radio show, Imperfect Brilliance. I know firsthand that you can change anything. We explore tools and questions with amazing guests, offering all kinds of conversations on living your best life. I invite you to listen in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to Imperfect Brilliance. Consider a coaching call with me and let's explore what you would like your life to be like. Visit my website at www.creatingyumminess.com and you're invited to call in to Imperfect Brilliance with your questions Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I look forward to connecting.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. She sent me some very silly Christmas jokes that I started reading while we were on break. That's why I'm just giggling at some of them. All right, you guys, so I got to ask you this. So where does a snowman keep his money? It's so...
Where, Betsy, where?
In a snowbank.
They get better. What does a snowman eat for breakfast? Frosted flakes.
Oh, I like that. Hello. Duh. I love it. That's great.
Oh my God, I got another one. This is a good one. What kind of motorcycle does Santa like to ride?
Tell us.
I don't have a clue.
A Holy Davidson.
Oh, no. Funny.
Oh, my gosh. I just love laughing. And how much do we heal the world, the earth, by our laughter?
And that's what I was going to jump in right when we went to break and say is that I deflect everything with humor, everything in my life. If it's a crunchy moment or if it's a serious moment or an uncomfortable moment, I deflect with humor. I will break out in some weird movement or dance, or I'll sing a weird song or make funny faces or tell jokes, whatever it takes to just break up the moment with some laughter. That's my jam.
And you know, like Christmas time, if I think about my best Christmas moments, I have an aunt and uncle, and we all have these people in our lives, I'm sure, the ones that are that, like, they're just kind of out of control, slightly insane, really fun, and they make things even better. Like, it's, and we can be that energy. And I have this aunt and uncle and Steve and Iris, and we as a kid we were like, oh my gosh, I really hope they're gonna be there for Christmas, because if they're there, oh my gosh, like, it's gonna be so much fun. And when I see that in other people, then it's like, oh, like, that's that fun and playfulness that I am too, if I actually chose it. And we have that in us, you know, even the wallflowers, even the people that, you know, whether you're a bookworm or an artist or whatever that is, we have that joy. Like, so what is the way that people do have joy and do create the laughter and the ease and the awesome? And when you're reminded by the people around you that light you up like that, whether it's, you know, having a Michelle in the room who can break the ice with some good humor, or an aunt and uncle like I have, those are the reminders of the energy that we can be.
So true. So true. And then I know for me, when there's people having fun, they're like magnets, right? They just, you're drawn to them, and you want to find out what are they laughing about? I want to be in on that laughter. And, you know, I wonder for all of us where we could actually even turn that up more for ourselves And okay, somebody's got a really squeaky door or something going on.
That was my dog. He was just playing in a snowbank.
Oh, I love it.
Now we're good. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It was just like, what is it? I was like, oh, and Michelle, I don't know if you saw, but Christine said she was just having a big snowstorm again. And Christine is in Saskatchewan, Canada, which I don't even know how to spell, barely say, but, you know, she got another snowstorm. So how do you... Like, what do you do to even turn it up even more and enjoy it and embrace it more?
You just got to play along. So if someone in the room is being cranky or whatever, you could just play it up and make it so extravagant in the moment to where it just becomes incredibly silly and everyone has to laugh at it, including the person who is so cranky.
I've done that to myself when I've been cranky, and then I just, like, when I realize it, and if I'm willing to, you know, like, I'll just turn it up like a telenovela, the worst telenovela ever. And then, you know, when I've done it like with my husband, then he'll start playing along and the two of us are just cracking up, roaring on the floor. So it definitely can get me out of all of the cranky pants that I might be in. And so have you ever done that where you've turned it up if somebody else is being like that and then they just get mad at you and walk away?
Well, you know, I don't know how many people know this, but I'm a mom and I have 5 kids. And
five kids.
Yeah, that's insane. Who chose that?
That ain't no joke.
So, you know, you take your kids to the store and they want something and you say no, and then they start throwing a fit. Well, instead of like getting mad at them or frustrating with them or trying to calm them down, I would just throw a fit right along with them. And it would stop them in their tracks. And they would just be like, what is happening? What is happening here? So imagine, you know, imagine a kid throwing a fit in the store and then the mom throwing a fit too, right along with the kid, but in like exaggerated mode, you know, like turning it all the way up. And then the kid's just like, quiet. Like, I don't know what's happening and I need to get out of this store. I need to get away from my parents.
Yes. That's a great thing, because how many times have we all seen parents, you know, trying to control their kids, yelling at them when the kids are having meltdowns, and all it does is just like throw fuel on the fire for a lot more of the same thing.
Exactly. So imagine, I mean, what if everybody listening today, through the holidays, you get around that cranky relative that you're like always like so annoyed with. What if you just took the moment and they're being so cranky and you just mimic their cranky, but turn it way up and exaggerate it just for fun and see what happens, because they might get super angry and walk away, but that's still a win.
Exactly. Cranky Panthers out of the room.
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
it's
my
still
God.
A win, even if they leave the room, you know, and so it's even the being willing to have them be mad at you. And, you know, like, I know for me, there's been so many times when I have not said or done something because I didn't want somebody else to be mad at me. And so here you are saying, turn it up and be willing to have them even get mad and leave the room. And so what would you say for people like me who might corral myself and not do what I'd actually, you know, like, oh, I could never do that. So what would you say to people like that might be thinking that?
I would say, but sweetheart, are you having any fun?
Okay. So we're all going to have Michelle on speed dial.
Right? Well, you know, My mom used to always say to me when I would get cranky with her, she'd always say, you can get happy in the same pants that you're getting mad in.
Oh, I like that.
Awesome.
And so, you know, yes. I just don't, you know, there's a few people, if you're one of my kids, you can probably trigger me and I'll stay triggered for a minute. But if you're everybody else in the world, I'm just going to walk away because it's not going to create more for me or you for me to play along or whatever. And if you want to have a conversation, we can do that.
Love it.
But it also takes a lot. It takes a lot to do. It takes a lot to choose that, especially when we care about people and we want them to like us and then we want them to be happy. You know, that's what we know. That's our normal go-to. But we have to want ourselves to be happy and we have to like ourselves too.
Exactly. Well, and you know, and over the holidays, we get so into the regular routine of what we usually do. And a lot of the regular routine of what we usually do isn't necessarily joyful or happy. You know, we go to hang out with people that we really don't like, or we're eating food really too much. Like, and so just stepping into question of, you know, show me the joy in this moment, or what can I be that would create more joy in this moment? And how silly can I be today? And maybe the silliness is just putting your watch on the other wrist. Like, it doesn't have to be skipping down the street or, you know, getting your hair crimped. Like, it can be these little small things, but for you, it might be a dynamic shift in what you normally choose. And that can be the joy moment. We often think it's this extreme place that you have to go to be joy. Mm-hmm. And it can also be this little nanosecond of space that lets you change things up for you. And so what is that nanosecond of joy that you can be in this moment when you're at the kitchen table or when you're, you know, whatever you're choosing over the holidays? And maybe it's going outside and making a snow angel. For me, joy is really about my body. And so I would just invite everyone listening is, what's something that I can do with my body in these 10 seconds that will bring more joy to my body right now? And maybe it's going to the bathroom and jumping up and down. Maybe it's spinning in the kitchen. Maybe it is that embodiment, you know, Michelle, when you're talking about your kids having a fit in the store. That's an embodiment, right? Like, ooh, my body's down on the ground and I'm like, ah. You know, what radical difference can I be in my body right now that can be the joy moment that could change it all for me in this moment? Yeah, and if you're not sure, look at the kids in the room and see what they're doing and copy them. Because they're probably having more fun than the adults in the room.
There's been more than one time when I've snuck off with the kids and played games with them, you know, just because I'm like, and so choosing what's fun for you. And there's been a lot of times even when I've excused myself and gone and washed dishes or gone for a walk or whatever, when there's been conversations that I really don't care to be part of. And, you know, if you give yourself permission for all of that and not make yourself wrong for it, you know, that to me has been such a gift and some freedom for me. And instead of feeling like, you know, well, I can't leave the room, I have this obligation, I'm supposed to do all these things. And so, you know, giving myself permission to actually just, you know, tear up all of those places that I had decided I couldn't do those things, and actually give myself permission to do all of the things I just said or anything else, it's really been quite a gift to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, you're on a really good thread here, because there's a thing about the holidays, at least in the U.S., you know, at least in traditional Christmas things, that it's about like having these fancy dinners and baking cookies and giving presents. Mm-hmm. And what if your joy isn't giving presents? Like, how do you fit into that? And how cranky does it make you when you have to do that? What if your joy isn't baking cookies? And how, you know, and so on and so on. So for me, a few years ago, I had to figure out, because I used to go all out, do the normal, big, huge deal. And I was always the one in the kitchen cooking all day. I'd spent all year, you know, planning all these presents. I would do all the decorate, all the things. And then during the day, I wasn't getting to participate in anything because I was doing all the things. And I finally sat down and was like, what parts of this do I actually enjoy? And then I just told my family, this is how I'm going to do Christmas from now on. If you don't want to play, then you don't have to play. But I'm not doing all the other stuff. And I changed it and I made it work for me. And since then, I've had incredible fun Christmases where I get to participate because my joy spot is play. So I like to play. I like to play games. I like to, you know, to joke around, do dance party, whatever. So when I get together for the holidays now with my children, we play games and we watch funny movies and we all cook together, everybody participating, and it's so much more fun.
So and there's a piece that. In there, yeah.
Love that.
There's a great gift in there, Michelle, about allowing yourself to change your mind. Like, what if you created all new traditions because you actually were just following what feels fun for you now? And the magic, like the invitation that is for everyone in the room when you're showing people that you actually can make it, like, can choose different right now, and how much fun that is. Like, it's beautiful.
Well, right. Knowing where your joy spot is, and then allowing yourself to choose that allows you to create the joy in the moment, because it's not about a doing, it's about a being. And then we're so trying to do these things that are bringing us joy because we've been like, this brings you joy, but does it bring you joy? You have to ask that question. Mm-hmm. It might, but you have to ask that question.
Mm-hmm. So true. And then with that, it's really like starting to ask that question, like, what does bring me joy? And what could I have somebody else help me with, or what can I let go of? And just because you did it for 20 years doesn't mean that you have to continue doing it. And so if you start looking at all of those things and then really ask what works for me, what brings me joy,
connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world,
then you start Om to Times go to that Radio. Place.
IOM
and then as
FM.
Michelle described, her example,
host your show on IOM FM,
so
the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
We went
live!
Right now, you guys, so stick with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Information research. No.
New thought teachers, no. Speakers and researchers. Nope. Pushing
back the boundaries. How much fun is that? About life, energy, metaphysics. Our show just got even more silly because we have no idea where we left off and what we're going to say when we get back.
And how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our
awareness,
and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive,
where did we
why not make
be
a date to come play
heard.
With me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday. And together,
we
can
discover so
brilliant
back there.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something.
Bessie, can you hear me?
Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. Well, definitely a perfect, brilliant from this show, for sure. I'm Betsy McLaughlin, and I am here today, if you guys are just tuning in, with Michelle Lyle and Christine Fiona, and we are talking about ho-ho merriment and bringing joy to, you know, to your life. And right now we're coming up on the holidays, but you can use what we're talking about truly at any point in our life. And apparently we did not hear, as our wonderful producer was going to break, so we're not exactly sure. We were just talking and we did not hear the music go on, so we're not even sure where we what might have gotten.
We were off. So brilliant moments before we were cut off. So just imagine, you guys listening, you missed some really good parts.
For sure.
Oh, I was going to add.
Go ahead.
Michelle was talking about, you know, changing things up and looking at, like, what's your joy spot? And, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But one of the things that I chose new for Christmas, and maybe this was not new anymore, but maybe about 8 years ago, was I walked my dog Christmas morning before everything got started. Because typically, you know, Christmas morning would be, you know, everyone getting up and I'd be at my mom and dad's house and family would come out and we'd start the coffee and the eating and the busyness again, which was fun. But I actually chose to change things up and I would walk to my parents' house, which was actually a bit of a trek, with Christmas gifts in my giant backpack and my dog. And I would snowshoe because if it snowed all night long, it would be really big snow. But I loved we're talking about joy and silliness. But there was great joy for me in making the choice of I'm going to take that hour, it was about a 45-minute walk, to walk with my dog in the early morning hours, no matter what the temperature, and sometimes in my snowshoes. And there's no traffic. No one's out Christmas morning. They're all in their pajamas, and they're sleeping or just waking up from the night before. And it was the most magical, joyous thing for me. I loved it. It's me and my dog, and it's all quiet and crisp outside. I can see my breath in the air. My dog is walking, and we're walking with my gifts on my back to my mom and dad's house. And they were confused by this initially. Like, what do you mean you're walking to the house? Like, get in your car. Come on over. We'll have a coffee. I'm like, yeah, I'll get there. And now it's a new part of what I choose, and it's beautiful. I look forward to that every year on this Christmas early morning Christmas walk. It's lovely.
Wow.
So it doesn't always have to be the it doesn't always have to, joy can show up in the silly, but also in the stillness.
I love that you brought that into conversation, and it's so true. And, you know, like, so taking the time to enjoy this walk and appreciating the beauty and the quiet and the stillness and the solitude and everything that you described and trekking. And then when there's, you know, she's got her snowshoes on and she's enjoying that and embracing that. That is, oh, what a beautiful thing to describe. Thank you for taking us on that journey with you.
It also just reminds me to, like, you know, get out of the thought process of, like, I have to drive or it'll be too cold or it's a long walk, and just, like, enjoy it. Like, enjoy the steps and the adventure of it. That's super cool. I personally appreciate that, Christine. Thank you for bringing that in.
It's really fun. What are all the ways that joy can be in ways that we don't even know yet? You know, and that's new, because it's easy for me to be the joy muscle of Dun, 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 dun. Hey, why did the snowman say to the other snowman, do you smell carrots? Like, it's easy for me to be the fun, playful, extroverted joy energy, but there is a great receiving that happens for my body when I am this soft and still joy. And I don't choose that as much because it's not so commonplace for me, but it's really refreshing.
So I'm wondering what, I know that you have nieces and nephews, and so you've got a lot of young kids around you, Christine, and I'm not, mm-hmm. I think you do as well, Michelle, right? You've got some grandbabies, right, that sometimes you get to play with?
I'm lucky enough to have one grandson and one mm-hmm. grand dog, but they don't live close to me, so I don't get to play with them regularly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I'm wondering, you know, like, so with the nieces and the nephews that you get to play with, Christine, what do they remind you of?
I was going to say me. They remind me of me.
I love that.
They're almost, you know, you were talking about Christmas and what came up with the kid table. And even now I'm usually yes. at the kid table, mm-hmm. Which I take as a great compliment to my being because I am a kid. And so when I'm with my nieces and nephews, when I'm with kids, it just reminds me of, you know, the gift that we are when we're tapping into our creative kid energy. And they call me Crazy Chris, which I also take as a great compliment. And just the power that silliness and joy is in our lives. And so, yeah, when I see them, and it's an interesting thing, you know, as I see them getting older, mm-hmm. they're also getting not more serious, but a little contained sometimes than when they mm-hmm. were younger. And so I have a good time kind of, you know, tending or work in the room with them a little so that they can become that silliness that they are so much already. But sometimes when it's a room full of adults, they become a little more contained. And so what if we could all be at the kid table all the time in our lives and not just wait for the table to show up when the kids are there to actually be that playful kid energy all the time?
I love that question. So if you could gift our listeners anything, what would you gift them?
The words that pop, I was somebody's like, jump and spin. Just jump and spin more. Just move your body, jump and spin. And I mean, we make things so serious and like, how do I get mm-hmm. out of this predicament? And go, 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 go. Like, we go into all of the story of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And what if it's a hyphen? And like, just give yourself a space and a pause and do something radically different and move your body. Ask, like, what would the 5-year-old in me do right now? And maybe it would be like Michelle saying, have a hissy fit on the floor, or or go and eat the whole cake, or spin around until the sky spins with you and you see rabbits in the clouds. You know, it can be the most, the simplest thing. And it's usually, for me, it's about moving your body, where that playful kid energy shows up.
Love it. And what about for you, Michelle?
I was thinking about that. I was trying to think about, like, what is it like when I feel very serious and I'm in a serious topic or a serious moment, and like, how do I switch out of that? And I was thinking, like, if I'm in a room full of people and it's adults having a serious conversation, maybe they're talking about politics as an example, and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, this conversation's draining me.
Yeah.
Flip the script. It's become the master of changing the subject, but so, mm-hmm. so unobvious. So it's one of the things that I have become really a master at.
Me too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'll have a conversation with my mom and she'll start heading down this conversation track and I don't want to be talking about that stuff. And I'll go, you know, Mom, when you were like six, where did you live? You know, I'll just do something, like, I'll just, you know, wait for her to finish talking. And so you're in a room and everybody's talking about politics, for example, and then you can jump up and go, hey, remember that one Christmas when we all played charades or whatever it is? And then some of the people in the room will actually, you know, start engaging in that new topic. And the ones who want to stay on the topic of politics, they'll keep their conversation going, but the rest of the room will move, because 9 times out of 10, more people in that conversation want to change it than don't.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And
joy creates. Mm-hmm.
That's a great trick. You know, what was it that you ask your mom sometimes? What would the six-year-old in you?
No, I just think of something, like, you know, for example, we were having a conversation just a couple of days ago. I talked to her once a week. We're having a conversation and she started heading down this road talking about like health and my brother and whatever. And it was a conversation I didn't want to be having. So I said, you know, Mom, when you lived in Alaska, where did you live? Because I can't remember. And then she didn't even like notice that I changed the subject, because she just wanted to answer that question. And then we ended up spending the whole rest of the conversation talking about her childhood and places that she lived, which was way more interesting to me.
Mm. That's a great trick, you guys, to put up your sleeve. And, you know, especially as our parents are getting older, there's definitely things that we don't know about our parents. So what questions could we ask them that would give us some information and some history of their lives? Then, you know, like, what questions could we ask them? So if they're going down, like, my mom likes to start talking about politics and she just wants to, you know, tell me her point of view, which I know her point of view inside and out. And I'm the same way as Michelle. I just like, okay. And I'll do whatever I can to change the subject. But I love this. I love this suggestion of asking them about their childhood and their things that, you know, you might not even know. And just to get some more information. That's a really great tip. Thank you.
Yeah. And I actually learned a lot about my mom in the last conversation from doing that. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fun, more interesting conversation. And it kind of brings her a little bit to her own, you know, her own childhood and memories from, you know, different times in life.
Well, you know what I find interesting too, like with my mom, and I've seen it with a lot of elderly people, is they will tend to tell the same story over and over and over again. And so these kinds of questions can get them expanded out beyond the same stories that they go to. So that's a great reminder for all of us. And, you know, how much silly can we infuse even in the politics? So what would you, and then, you know, the example that you guys used earlier, Michelle, like, of when your kid's throwing a fit. So if somebody's really going down a very, you know, I want my point of view heard from this whole entire room, whatever it is, whether it's politics, religion, or whatever, like, what would you do there where it would be the same thing with the kid having the fit?
So for me, I like to tell people that they're 100% right and 100% agree with them to their face, because I don't care. And they do. And when you do that, they will either backtrack and be like, oh, well, what do you, you know, like, you know, they'll backtrack, or they'll be so happy that they get to be right. And either way, it's still a win.
Right.
I'm all about winning. Can you tell?
Yes, I love, that's great. And it's so true. And for a lot of people who, it just kind of takes the winds out of their, the wind out of their sails, because they're so invested in making sure that they're the, you know, the most right person in the room. And so if you're like, you're right, you're absolutely right, then there's like nowhere else for them to go.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times people just want to be heard. It's not really about what they're talking about. They just want to be heard. And then when you tell, like, when you tell them they're right, they can change the subject and talk about something else because they were heard, they got to be right, and now they're free and open to talk about something fun.
Wow. Ladies, thank you so much for being with me today.
Ho, ho, ho!
Merry Christmas, and happy
holidays,
everyone. Christine and Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so fun.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Happy holidays.
What do you call a reindeer who wears earmuffs? Anything you-